ready for this? Howdy, folks, let's gather around for the best sports talk in town. We got our hosts, Darren, Tim, and Chris. Baby, can't get better than this. Give out all the power rankings. Laugh at all the teams tanking. A lot of fun, a lot of surprise. Let's give it up for the guys in this league.
Word to yo mother. Baby, you guys think that's too aggressive when I say that? Should I get a new intro? I've never asked.
No, it's vintage. Love it.
Word to your mother. Say hello to your mother for me. Welcome in to another episode of the This League Fantasy Football Podcast. Somehow, we've been able to do 88 of these bad boys. Episode 88, the evening of November 7th, 2024. I am your host, as always, Chris Mitchum, the proud manager of Team Fairlife, with the usual gang, Aaron Hunt, manager of the Sun God Squad.
What is going on, everybody?
And I'm gonna hope for at least 25% of his attention this evening. We have a fellow Bengals fan in, as per usual with our recordings. We have Thursday Night Football going on in the background between the Bengals and the Ravens. In-house Bengals fan Tim Rader decided to bless us this evening by hopping on the pod. Despite his Benji's plan, he is the manager of Close But No Jamar. Tim, how are we doing? How are we feeling about the Bengals so far?
Yeah, I can give you 2-5% of my attention. Is that what you said?
Okay. Hey, that's more than zero, you know?
Hey, we went up early. We went up early 7-0, went down the field again after forcing a 3-and-out. Didn't get it. Now they're driving a little bit. I don't know.
We're driving a little bit. It's
we're all just puckered up.
1 minute and 40 seconds left in the first quarter of that game. So I'm sure we may be getting some interruptions as the night goes on. But that's okay because we love football here. Peksha for you, as always, this week. We have another trade ring. That's right. Two straight weeks with a trade ring. We dive into there. We got the news that we're going to cover. A Week 9 review, also known as the Qdoba Chipotle Classic Final. We will get a final standings of those this year. Power rankings, a This League guarantee, and of course, a Week 10 preview coming your way. Thank you again for joining us. Drinks of the week, guys. I have a really special one that I'm going to save till last. And Tim, I'll start with you.
Oh, we're rocking a Gatorade Zero. Getting over the sickness, you know, pumping electrolytes.
You're getting down with the sickness. I had to. Sorry. Aaron, what are you drinking?
Oh, there is a fly in my room. Very distracting. Got the Owala. And what's in it?
Some beer, huh? Huh? Come on, don't disappoint me.
Wish. H2O.
Boo. Stay hydrated there, folks. Guys, I have... Tim knows. Aaron, I'm not sure if you know how special this beer a place.
Midnight. Oh, I absolutely know how special.
Baby. Oh, dang. My God. First one I've cracked this year, man. I spent like a ridiculous amount of money because they're expensive, but they're so worth it. A dark sour ale from our good friends at Sun King Brewing. It is delicious.
I might have to buy one off of you.
God dang. A dark sour
ale. How many
cases
did you buy? Just one?
It only comes in twos, and I bought five of them.
Love so, that.
Yeah, very good. Highly recommend. I know a dark sour ale may not sound like it's for everybody, but I encourage you to try it because it is delightful. Thank you again for joining us one more time as we break down a lot of Week 9 action. But before we do that, we had a trade that occurred right before Week 9 that we are going to break down right now.
The This League Trade Ring.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the This League Trade Ring. If you are unfamiliar or if this is your first time, two teams enter the ring. Two teams, one trade. And two of us, or three of us, if none of us are in the trade, get to decide the winner. We don't just take into account win now. We take into account the future pass of each team. Are you rebuilding? Are you win now? Are you somewhere in the middle? We take into account all of that when we decide the winner. I said usually three of us get to judge it, but it's only two this week. because one of us gets to dive into the ring.
I'm nervous. All right. We'll see what you guys think.
There.
Well, let's get into this one. We have one match scheduled for you this week. We have Aaron and the Sun God Squad in one corner taking on Stretch and Team Walker. I hardly know her. Aaron and Stretch diving into the ring this week. So that means Tim and I get to decide the winner of this one. The Trade just passed the muster to be considered. But I think we have a big enough name in here that it deserves its own card in the This League Trade ring. The Sun God Squad, Aaron's side, receives a 2025 second round pick. That is Aaron's 2025 second round pick. And a 2025 third round pick, which is Steven's. So we expect both of those to be pretty healthy and early in those early rounds. What did Kyle give up for a 25 second, 25 third? He gets tight end Mark Andrews from the Baltimore Ravens. Maybe not the weight the name used to carry back in the day, but hey, it's still Mark Andrews. It's still one of the best tight ends in the last 5 years, and he moves in this trade. Tim, are you ready to make your decision?
Do it.
All right, Aaron, if you want to count us down, Tim and I will say the number and determine the winner. Here we go.
And 3, 2, 1.
Stretch.
I'll go Aaron.
All right. Split decision. All right. Split decision. All right. Tim, we'll start with you. You say Aaron. You like the side with the picks. Go right ahead.
I do. It's an early two. You know, Aaron's pick is going to be top four guaranteed. So you're looking 204 at worst. Mark Andrews has come on a little bit in the past couple weeks compared to his goose egg starts. But for me, it just seems like not a huge overpay. But it seems like a decent chunk to give up when you had Goddard coming back from an injury, and he had picked up Hunter Henry off of waivers, who was consistently scoring more than 10 points.
That's a good point.
And I'm just not sure that Andrews elevates the team that much more over Hunter Henry / Dallas Goddard. I like I said, I don't think it's an overpay. I think it's a pretty fair trade. But like Aaron, just going for all the picks. I don't think you're not going to get much more than an early two for Mark Andrews. Sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a pretty fair trade as well. I certainly don't think Stretch wins this by a wide margin, but I still think that Mark Andrews, you know, we're all educated here on this podcast, and we know that Mark Andrews isn't the tight end this year that he was in previous years. Is that the scheme? Is that the age? Nobody really knows. Did he all of a sudden dream of becoming an offensive lineman? That could be the chance too. Who really knows? But I think it's still worth taking the shot if you are Stretch. Obviously, we know that Aaron is no longer win now, and Stretch is certainly still in that bucket. You mentioned Dallas Goedert. You mentioned Hunter Henry. I still think Mark Andrews, you're probably starting over the both of them every week just because you know the talent is there. You know the history is there. Sure, it hasn't been there this much this year, but he is still the tight end 11. It's not like we're talking about somebody outside the top 12 here. So I think when you take all that into account and you give up a second and a third, which, you know, even 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, a second and a third for Mark Andrews would be, you know, highway robbery. Obviously, we know what we know now, and that's not really the case. But again, I don't think this trade is very uneven whatsoever. I think Aaron got good value. The fact that those are both early in the round picks, I think is probably a big consideration that Aaron made. So I do like the move for Stretch. I think that you got the tight end for the rest of the year. That could break out at any moment. You know, that Ravens offense, I feel like, changes every single week. And literally on the money, oh, I thought that was Mark Andrews. It's Nelson Agholor catches a touchdown for the Ravens. how did I get Nelson Agholor and Mark Andrews mixed up? Don't ask me. But yeah, I go Stretch by a hair. I like the move to get a tight end that hopefully can propel you to the top. Aaron, give us some background on how this went down real quick before we move on to the news.
Yeah, so a little rundown. It really wasn't a crazy amount of negotiation. I was talking with Stretch a little bit looking to try to get a first round pick actually for Mark Andrews, but he wasn't really going for it. Decided, hey, I probably need to maybe taper off from where I was trying to get, you know, value there for a first, because I knew maybe in years to come that he could really maybe turn it around. He's still fairly young for a tight end, so that's, at the end of the day, I just really wanted to get something for him, and I felt like he had the picks and had the assets to make the trade work, and so I came back around and was able to get it done. So I feel good about it, just with the fact that my second's going to be really early and Stevens will be early. And I think we've seen in previous rookie drafts, you can really find some good value even in the early third. I think Chase Brown was a third round pick, for example. So
yeah,
you can find value anywhere in the draft, especially if they're early picks.
Yeah, I dig it. There you go. I think the consensus is this is a pretty even trade. So congrats to the both of you. You know, who knows? Perhaps Stretch makes the playoffs and Andrews puts up three straight weeks of 25 plus. Who knows? That could be the case. And if that's the case, Stretch looks back and laughs at us all, or he could continue to put up 3 points a game like he has been, and Aaron got away with highway robbery. So I guess only time will tell. That was your This League trade ring. We ended 1-1 here, so let us know your thoughts. This League _ pod, and maybe you can help us break the tie as the trade ring closes for this week. There was some news, maybe not as much news, but there was some news that we're going to quickly break down before we get into our matchups from Week 9. Four pieces of news we are going to quickly break down for you guys here. I'm going to start with one that we talked about briefly last week, Aaron and I, but I do want to get Tim's thoughts, and it was all but confirmed today. Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Shanahan came out, said he fully expects Christian McCaffrey back this week, has yet to be officially activated from the IR, but we know it's only a matter of time. So, Tim, give us your thoughts on that. One, for Anthony's team, you know, how much does that propel him, especially if he gets, you know, arguably the best fantasy player in the last 5 years back? But also just give me your general expectations for Christian McCaffrey rest of season.
Yeah, I think it goes without saying that if he's back and back to his old self, it vaults Anthony all the way to the, like, has to be the favorite by far. Still, you know, if you're in his shoes, you want to see it on the field, right? So far, it's all been practice. And just with the way of how sketchy it was to start the season, I think you just got to see it to believe it. I think he comes back. I think he'll take his normal workload. But like I said, got to see it on the field.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure. Anthony is looking forward to the moment where that IR tag goes away on Sleeper and he officially gets to make the move out. Is there a better feeling, man? You know, you had a guy out for a long time and then it's just fire it back up. Here we go. So, Anthony, thinking of you, congratulations to you. Dak Prescott for the Dallas Cowboys out at least 4 to 6 weeks. Obviously, Aaron, that's your quarterback. You're not exactly competing this year, so maybe that's not as big of a hit to you, but I'm thinking more of the CeeDee Lamb route here, Aaron. I want to get your thoughts. Obviously, that's somebody Tim is depending on. I do think it's good that maybe he got this injury now versus 3 or 4 weeks ago whenever Tim had to go through his gauntlet. you know, 4 to 6 weeks for Dak. You look at Tim's roster maybe. How do you think that impacts him? And then maybe just CeeDee Lamb even going forward. Does he go from elite wide receiver one to maybe a strong wide receiver two, or does he kind of maintain that elite level?
Yeah, I think there's definitely going to be a hit. To what extent will be determined. I kind of agree with you when you initially were talking about it. You know, my mind went to, okay, this is probably now a wide receiver two. Like, maybe not even like super top tier wide receiver two, just like very solid middle of the road wide receiver two every week with that low end wide receiver one upside. Just because I think Cooper Rush maybe we'll target more receivers that Dak maybe wouldn't have, just with some of the rapport that backups get with other backups in training camp, things like that.
Jonathan Mingo, here we come. Breakout's happening.
That trade was wild.
Gross.
No idea where that was coming from. I think Jerry's off his rocker, but yeah, that guy as GM is scary.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I think Tim now with some of the trades that he did, including getting a couple of the pieces from me, can still be just fine. I mean, if CD's a wide receiver two for his team, he's still going to have Tyreek. He's still going to have Jamar Chase. They'll more than compensate.
Yep. Tim, any real concern from a close but no Jamar level here?
I mean, there's always concern when a guy loses his start top quarterback. I just looked it up. When Cooper Rush filled in for Dak in 2022, this was his game lines. I think this is 5 weeks he filled in.
He was good.
7 for 75, 8 for 87 in a touchdown, 6 for 97 in a touchdown, 5 for 53, and 5 for 68. So he'll still put up solid numbers. I'm not worried about him like becoming a dud.
Right.
The shoulder injury in combination with that does have me worried for a week or two. Mm-hmm. But the quarterback change, I don't know. Dak hasn't exactly been lighting it up this year, so.
That's true. I just think you're hoping to avoid, you know, a Tua going down for the Dolphins and what that offense turns into, which I think we've seen enough.
Yeah, Cooper Rush is way better than
that may not happen. There you go. Quickly, Mike Williams to the Steelers. I actually think this is probably the best thing that could have happened for George Pickens, in my opinion. Instead of Devontae or DeAndre Hopkins or Brandon Ayuk, you get Mike Williams. So if anything, I think that probably helps him going forward. Any strong feelings on that one?
I think it'll just be another vertical deep threat that you have to account for. It feels like it's been such a long time since Mike Williams has even been a factor in an NFL game.
True.
He gets hurt all the time, but when he is out there, he's very talented. So you would think that maybe some of the attention has to go to Mike Williams to open up maybe some more room for George Pickens to maybe thrive a little more downfield. But
here we go.
See, it'll be interesting.
The last story, Chuba Hubbard, new deal for the Carolina Panthers, 4-year extension worth $33 million with $15 million fully guaranteed. Couple things. Number one, Jonathan Brooks. No, let's talk about the actual player first. Chuba, first of all, congratulations on getting the bag. Second of all, if you're looking at this for Anthony, I think you fully expected Chuba Hubbard to maybe not be a staple in your roster come playoff time with the return of Jonathan Brooks. But does that change now? Do you see this going forward as more of a 50-50? And Aaron, as the Jonathan Brooks truther, I know you are. How big of this is a concern for Chuba Hubbard? Or I guess how safe should Anthony feel going with Chuba Hubbard going forward, knowing he has this new contract extension that, you know, kind of shows that the Panthers believe in him as a player?
Yeah, I mean, at worst, like, it's going to have to be a committee, right? I mean, to some extent, even if it's 60-40 lean Jonathan Brooks, I feel like there's more to the surface of this deal, or more substance to this deal than just meets the eye. I'm a little nervous that the Carolina Panthers organization is looking at Jonathan Brooks and how he's progressing, and maybe they're just not as confident in him getting back to what he once was pre-ACL injury and what they maybe saw on tape compared to what they're seeing now and his rehabilitation and getting back to practice.
Call me crazy. I don't think you spend a second round pick on like a committee guy. I wouldn't think.
Well, that's my thing is like, there's no reason to do this move, to make this deal, to spend this money, unless there is concern that Jonathan Brooks can't be the dude.
I mean, so, Lions spent a first round on a committee guy, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Okay, but it's Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. Yeah. But I mean that's an approach, you know. If the Panthers see that in Detroit, I would consider a two-headed running back committee to be more of a luxury than maybe something to build your team around personally. But yeah.
Here's my thing, though.
It could be.
Not to cut you off, but
cut me off.
Montgomery, we saw him do it multiple seasons before the Lions pulled the trigger on that deal. Do we have enough evidence that, you know, outside of this year, which Chuba's, to his credit, he's done really well, but leading up to this season, I mean, it just seems like a good amount of money to pay a guy to not utilize him a little more than what they probably will with Jonathan Brooks coming back.
Very fair, very fair. Certainly a little cloudy for Jonathan Brooks' dynasty future, but certainly some hope, I think, if you're Anthony. You've been leaning on Chuba. He's been doing well, and you know he could be in his lineup going forward for a deep playoff run. That was your news for this week. Let us know your thoughts, and we will get into the football. Let's do this.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Week 9 review, in case you have forgotten, we are going into the final week of the 2024 Qdoba Chipotle Classic. Coming into this week, it was Chipotle 10, Qdoba 5. I made the call that I wanted to double up Qdoba, man. I really wanted to do it. Did it happen? We will see. And also, overall, just for Week 9, very high scoring. Points galore for a lot of different folks. And we'll just dive right into it here. The first matchup, it was a civil war. We don't have many of those anymore under the same household, but it was between Stretch at 5-3, Walker Hardly Knower, taking on Anthony from the Chipotle division, Team Uninspired Youth, also at 5-3. Not only was this a game that was important for Chipotle Qdoba, but for both of their futures. This is one of those games where 6-3 sounds a lot better than 5-4. There's just something about it, you know? 6-3, 5-4 just seems a lot further apart. So I think even for there was some moral feel-good stuff being played for here. And after Thursday night, I tell you what, Stretch had to be feeling hot. Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson proved that they maybe can coexist after all, both putting up solid performances. And Joe Mixon had a modest 16 for Anthony. Modest 16 for Joe Mixon standards. Of course. But guys, what if I told you that after Sunday, none of Stretch's players would ever hit the high of Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson, and every single player on Anthony's side outside of one scored more than Joe Mixon? That's insane if you think about it. Like, 16's your benchmark, and then you hit Sunday, and every single player outside of one guy on your roster scores more than 16. That's a huge swing, and that's why the final score here was Stretch 125, Anthony 184. For Stretch, Kyler Murray, man. Oh, 3 points. Or wait, I clicked on the wrong matchup. How many points did he have? Yeah, 3 points. I was right. 3 points from Kyler Murray. He's the quarterback 9, and Kyler Murray is like the worst kind of player because he is elite enough that it makes you want to keep starting him. He's finished as a top 5 quarterback 3 times, but he's finished outside the top 12 6 times. And all of a sudden, you know, coming into the year, Stretch had Kyler Murray, Anthony Richardson at the quarterback spot. Both of those guys are so inconsistent. Anthony Richardson's not even playing ball, and Drake May is your third round or your third string. So talk about going from strength to a weakness pretty quick if you are the quarterback spot. For Stretch, Mark Andrews was blah, his new toy. I'm sure Aaron likes to see that. And Cortland Sutton and Darnell Mooney on your bench looked good. But a good thing is, even if you would have started him, that wouldn't have been enough because Anthony had the highest points of the week at 184 points. In case you were wondering, 4 points off of the 10th highest score of all time. Zach in 21 put up 188. Fun fact, little trip down memory lane. Chuba Hubbard, guys, we mentioned him earlier, 21 points, 2 touchdowns this week. Anybody want to guess what running back he is in fantasy football right now?
I'm going to go RB9.
He is the RB9. You cheated.
I didn't look at it.
You cheated. Tim looks like he's going through an emotional roller coaster, so we'll keep trucking on. Travis Kelce dominated, and over here, he got 184 points, and Christian McCaffrey just lurking in the background.
That's so scary.
I know. Waiting for his triumphant return. So here, Stretch falls to 5-4 and was closely watching our game of the week, which we will get to later. And Anthony keeps up with the high-speed race for the top of the Chipotle division at 6-3. Any thoughts on this one, gentlemen, before we move on? Tough game, but a good high-scoring game as well.
Nothing crazy for me to add. Anthony, what a turnaround of, I just feel like earlier in the season, he felt a little more vulnerable than maybe he was, you know, last year. And it was like, oh, is he going to really be able to try and make a repeat run? And I think the answer is resounding yes.
Yeah.
Especially with the Lamar Jackson's a flower stack. He's had some things go right for him, like Chuba Hubbard or Chuba. And Kelsey's still doing Kelce things. So he's got a good team rolling, and CMC is going to be back soon.
I see Tim just like flailing his arms, and I see, was that Tanner Hudson just drop a ball? He just didn't want to catch it.
Oh my gosh, I just saw it.
Nope, I'm okay. You can have it. All right. We will move on to the next game here. We had Steven and Mount Passmore coming into this one at 2-6. Taking on everybody's darling, America's darling, Clayton and the Red Rocket at 3-5.
And I feel like I know exactly what Chris is going to say.
Oh, no. This, look what happened.
This is it. This is Chris's gotcha moment. Clayton's RBs finally did come back to indeed haunt him this week.
Yeah.
It's very crazy that Devin Singletary, even with the contract he signed, is seemingly now supplanted by Tyrone Tracy.
Pretty firmly,
yeah. So Tim gets another starting running back. He just keeps accumulating them, it seems. And yeah, I will say, though, even though they combined for 9 points, there's some other context we have to look at in this matchup. Drake London and Brian Thomas, both were banged up during their respective games.
Sure.
I think that likely was a major factor in their point totals and ultimately why Clayton lost. I'm not saying they're not a bigger factor than the RBs, but they definitely hold some weight. Double decker, tight end stacker.
Whopper, 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 good. Whopper.
Once again, Brock Bowers got a solid 15.5, McBride with 12.7. You'll take that all day long.
Absolutely.
No question, the two top tight ends in the league. And then Joe Burrow. My goodness.
Five of them things. He could use one of those tonight. What do you say, Tim, huh? He has one, I guess.
Yeah, he could really use that. Almost a 40 burger. Threw up 5 touchdowns. Insane. Gotta love that. Looked like vintage Joe Burrow at his best. It was beautiful to see that point total for him. Moving on, though, for Steven, Chase Brown getting some emoji eyes from me, and he already scored this week. So, you know, that's looking like a pretty reliable RB for Steven going throughout the rest of the season with Zach Moss being hurt.
Yeah.
And Jacoby Myers. And Jordan Addison, very solid. Nothing spectacular, but just did what they needed to do. Darnold was also good. I think Shakir maybe fallen off a little bit. I think you know, he had some decent point totals earlier in the season.
That's a pretty Shakir game, though. 6 catches, 50 yards. I think you'll take that. That's pretty Shakir.
Yeah. It's still solid, but you know, we were coming to see more, you know, towards the 20-point total games for Shakir. So fell off a little bit there. No secret that he needs DK and T. Higgins to be healthy. Kittle was also hurt, but despite all of that, Steven gets it done nonetheless. Clayton can't seem to catch a break. His team on paper looks better than what his record is. But final score, Steven 126, Clayton 117.
Again, obviously he made the right choice with Burrow this week, but Baker Mayfield down there, what I gotta do? Put up 22 this week, quarterback 2 on the year. We love you, Baker. Never change. Let's move on to, congratulations to Steven. He improves to 3-6, which is interesting. I feel like he doesn't feel like a 3-6 squad, but there he is, just kind of hanging about. And Clayton, unfortunately for the Red Rocket, falls to 3-6. Second straight loss for the Red Rocket after what was a pretty promising start to the year. We move on to the next matchup. It was Aaron and the Sun God squad at 4-4, taking on a Dawn and Njigba's and Paris team that was on Win Watch.
You got the drops ready? Because this one's a bang! Bang for Dawn!
Boom!
Winless no more. Time to celebrate. Play some celebration music for Don. Man, he just had booms across the board from Aaron Rodgers, J.K. Dobbins, Tony Pollard, JSN, Terry McLaurin, and the Chargers defense. Don't look at Worthy and Chris Olave.
Yeah, don't look there.
Head trauma issues. But bang, winless no more. Aaron, you've hit that point.
Aaron, we're here.
We're here. I put down that you might be the first true tank in this league.
Oh, no secret there.
That's how you do it, though, man.
Holy smokes. Amon-Ra and Odunze look good. AJ Brown got hurt. That's all, folks. Not much to add here. Final score, 151-69.
Holy crap.
Venice.
Don, man. Don, 154 this week, 143 last week. I'm just saying, we sent him home already. We had the alarm go off, so we're in big trouble if he somehow puts some wins together. But look out for Tima and Jigba's in Paris. They're putting something together over there. Aaron will fall to 4-5 as the playoffs fade from distance. And Don improves to a nice 1-8. We got to win. No more winless teams in this league. Everybody eats. Congratulations to Don. We move on to the next matchup. It was your boy, Team Fairlife, coming into this one at 6-2, top of the Chipotle division, taking on Zach Brees Lightning at 3-5.
And this one, it was an old-fashioned beatdown.
Sorry, you sounded like an alarm when you first started. You went, Go back and listen. That's a fire alarm that just went off.
Well, yeah, let me know if I truly did sound like an alarm there. But my gosh, what a monster performance across the board from Chris. Really, I feel like he just needed his top four scorers on the week to just take care of business, it seemed like. He had Josh Allen, Alvin Kamara, Cooper Kupp, all of them over 20 points. And then Devon Achane, 32
Welcome
points.
Welcome back, Daddy.
He is now awoken from his slumber, ladies and gentlemen. Kincaid for Chris, still just kind of there. He's the guy. He's fine. But never fear. Hawk will be in that lineup soon.
You think so?
I would hope so. Maybe not.
Tim,
maybe not.
Tim, who do you take rest of season? TJ Hockenson, Dalton Kincaid?
Let me see one more week of Hawk before I definitively call it. But that's closer than...
You have to decide right now. You have to decide right now.
Give me Hawk.
Are you on the Hawk side too, Aaron?
I'm taking Hawk, absolutely.
Interesting. All right.
So yeah, you know, I feel like you kind of have a decision there. Maybe rest of the season. So it would be interesting to see who you go with. And then even with a down week from Kyren, Kareem Hunt picking up some slack in the flex spot. He has just got some juice being back in KC.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if that continues at all when Pacheco inevitably comes back. My RB slots certainly need him back. For Zach, nothing was going right for him this week. Really, the only bright spot was Cade Otton, but not much else really there. He was dealing with bye weeks, dealing with injuries, left him in a pretty vulnerable spot. Honestly, there's some nervous vibes, I feel like, for his team. It's just not looked super great. But he should still stay out of the cellar. I think I'm going to claim that spot pretty convincingly. So you'll at least be better than me, Zach. but yeah, so final score on this one, Chris 170, Zach 93.
Good week for the squad. Marvin Harrison Jr., man. Like, when he's good, he's good. But when he's bad, holy cow, man.
He's bad.
He's got a wide receiver 76 on his record, a wide receiver 57, wide receiver 103 in week one. I didn't even know there was that many qualified wide receivers in a week. But he got to 103. Like, whoo, man. The talent's there, obviously. But, God, he's a roller coaster. Good Lord. He's like the Kyler Murray of wide receivers. He's elite just enough where you got to keep starting him, but God, he can crush you. All right. Let's move on to this final matchup of the week, which, Matt, means you know it is the game of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, your game of the week was a seismic clash in the final week of the Qdoba Chipotle Classic. Qdoba's finest champion, close but no Jamar, squared off against one of the heavy hitters of Chipotle in Tua Infinity and Bijan. Tim trying to keep his top spot in Qdoba clean while Hayden tries to keep up the impressive, or to keep up with the impressive, dominating, good-looking, courageous, extraordinary squad that is Team Fairlife at the top of the Chipotle division. If this matchup had a name, it would be the Battle of Mid with the occasional cool thing to look at. And what I mean by that, Tim's three-headed wide receiver monster of Jamar Chase, Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, we're all mid. Sam Laporta, mid. Tyrone Tracy, he's pretty cool, but he's mid. And Hayden's not getting out of this one either. Jalen Waddle, mid. Jahmyr Gibbs, for his standards, mid. Puka, thug. But there was some cool guys on both sides too. Saquon, the coolest backwards leap you'll ever see in your freaking life. That was insane. That's one of those, like, I feel like we watch a lot of football highlights, but that's one of those that, like, will go down in a special place. Like, how does somebody do that? I don't understand. Jalen Hurts, also very cool in this matchup. But at the end, Hayden's team just had cooler guys who got all the hot chicks because Derrick Henry, too cool for school. Bijan's cool. And what is that? Tank Dell and Patrick Mahomes?
Hey, what happened?
They were pretty cool this week, man. 30 for Patrick Mahomes, vintage. Tank Dell getting up over 100 receiving yards, 18 points this week. They were cool this week, and that was enough for Hayden to win this showdown. Final score was Hayden 147, Tim 134. Tim, the loss probably sucks. You fall to 6-3. Still top of the Qdoba division, but hey, at least you got DeAndre Hopkins. How about that?
That I do. Yeah, two-game lead over stretch would have been nice, but I mean, you put up 134 in an underperformance, and you get beat by an overperformance. So it's not, you don't lose sleep over those types of losses.
Hey, whatever helps you sleep at night, man. Amen to that, brother. Aaron, any final thoughts on this one before we move on?
Nothing from this. It was a fight to the finish, and I think Hayden is just relieved that he can finally win one of these close ones and all of his RBs come into fruition.
Yeah, that is probably refreshing if you are Hayden. Tim falls to 6-3, while Hayden improves to 7-2 to keep up with, let me find my descriptor again, the impressive, dominating, good-looking, courageous, extraordinary squad that is Team Fairlife. Man, whoever wrote that is just poetic, I'll tell you what. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was your Week 9 review. Let us know your thoughts. But before we get out of Week 9, of course, the Week 9 Qdoba Chipotle Classic. Chipotle gets 3 points, Qdoba gets 2 points this week, which still means your final 2024 Qdoba Chipotle Classic stands at Chipotle 13, Qdoba 7. Emphatic victory again this year for the Chipotle division, improving one by one compared to last year. The final 2023 Classic had Chipotle with 12, Qdoba with 8. This year ends Chipotle 13, Qdoba 7. Aaron, any hope for the Qdoba division as we advance into next year? You know, put yourself in a time machine to this time next year. Does Qdoba have a chance at edging away from this lead?
No, I don't believe so.
Even with you on the, well, you're on the downturn now, but I think maybe at this point next year, you'd be hoped to be a lot more competitive than you are right now.
Yeah. Yep. That's the goal anyway. We'll see if any of my picks land the way I hope they do.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. We say goodbye to the 2024 Qdoba Chipotle Classic, and we return to some hot divisional matchups coming down the pipe. But before we get into that, we have the power rankings, which I've been, I think biweekly power rankings is one of the best things this pod has done in a long time because it makes them pretty feisty whenever you have a lot of movement. So let's get into it.
Power rankings.
It's time.
It's time.
Everyone's favorite segment.
Let's do this. Let's go. Let's go.
Where more friendships get hurt than any other segment on this pod.
Aaron, you're stupid.
Guys, we're starting in the basement. Oh. We always start in the basement. We've got a new bottom.
Really?
A power bottom.
The league has a new bottom.
Power bottom. Oh my.
And that would be the Sun God Squad.
Dang.
Like I said, Aaron, we're there in this part of the season.
I looked at our power rate and what we did individually, and I have no idea what I was doing. I definitely meant to put myself last, but I like put myself eighth. So I was like, I'm going to change that real quick.
Yeah. I think it's a fair assessment after what? 2 of 3 weeks scoring 60 points.
And yeah. You guys know I look at record maybe a little more than both of you guys do. But even with that, I looked at the past 2 weeks today, and I was Aaron sucks.
I would still be in the playoffs, I think.
Playoffs started today, Aaron is the sixth seed.
You would.
Which is unbelievable.
I would never put a current playoff team, at bottom. But Jesus, Aaron, you've been really bad.
Yeah,
I have. No running backs. I have 3 on my roster, and I went for Khalil Herbert, and because I have no Fab, I didn't get him.
Dang,
I deserve it. It kind of. I never thought I'd see this day, but it had to be done.
Here we go.
So, with that being said, we've got. Up a spot, you mentioned the points scored in Jigba's in Paris.
Yeah, dude, look at him.
You love to see the guys scoring. 1-8 on the year, so you're on to next year, but you just love to see the needle start to point up. That's all you're hoping for. And then up another spot due to the fall of the Sun God Squad. We have Steven and Mount Passmore, number 8. Chris mentioned 3-6. I think we sent him home with that 6th loss, but he's fighting like hell to keep going.
I know. 2 straight dubs.
Yeah. Also at 3-6 in the 7th spot, we've got Brees Lightning.
4 straight L's.
Just fighting. just struggling this year. Just hoping to see Aaron officially drop out of that 6th spot and fight with Steven and the rest of the boys to get in the playoffs. You're alive until you're not.
Wow. One of Clayton, Steven, Zach will be in the playoffs. That's crazy. If you think about it.
Huh. Speaking of one of the Red Devils, falling 3 spots in our power rankings from last time we did this is Clayton and the Red Rocket. Moving on, not giving Chris time to, to take his victory on there. But we'll be fair, Chris. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's running backs, man. That's all I said it. Aaron referenced it earlier. Just Devin Singletary and Tyler Algier.
We might have gotten ahead of ourselves
four.
A little bit. I think.
You're not going to be top four.
Getting him all the way up to number three 2 weeks ago, was putting the card in front
although
of the
horse. Nico Collins coming back, he could be higher than six. I'll give you that.
Potentially. They're still like monitoring his hammy or whatever. I don't think he's had a practice, but he'll be back sooner than later. At number five, up a spot to infinity and Bijan.
Wow. After
number four.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
I think across the board, we were 5-4-4 on Hayden.
Okay.
Up a spot. Walker, hardly know her.
Walker
continues his steady ascent up the power rankings, landing at four. Coming in the third spot, we have Team Fairlife.
Woo, 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 woo.
There he is.
Dog.
Get my dogs out.
At number two, staying the same from 2 weeks ago, close but no Jamar.
Correct decision.
Yep.
Tough loss to Hayden last week, but yeah, the guy's keeping me up top. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Leaving, of course, the one man that we've already given too much pleasure to tonight.
Whoa, who's
Anthony
and Team him?
Uninspired Youth. Staying number one, I think everybody sees it. And we've got ourselves a ball game going down the stretch here, the stretch run.
I was split between you and Anthony for one, because last week or 2 weeks ago, depending on how you want to look at it, you beat him head to head. So I was like, I'm a head to head guy.
Yeah.
Cards on the table. You beat him. But then I saw he put up 180 plus and he's getting Christian McCaffrey back.
Yes, sir.
So I was like, okay, I'll put him at one.
Hey, you play who you play, you win who you win.
That's right. Oh, God, we haven't heard that. We haven't heard that phrase in a while. You win who you win, baby. That was your power rankings this week. Tim, run them down through us one more time.
The new bottom, Sun God Squad and Aaron. Number nine.
You suck.
And Jigbiz and Paris and Don up a spot. Number eight, Mount Passmore up a spot, Steven. Number seven, Brees Lightning up a spot, and Zach. Number six, the Red Rocket, down three. Number five, Tua Infinity and Bijan, up one, Hayden. Number four, Walker, hardly know her.
Ooh.
Stretch, number four, up a spot. Number three is Team Fairlife.
Woo-hoo.
Up one from the last power rankings. The top two remain unchanged. That is myself and Close But No Jamar coming in at two, and Team Uninspired Youth taking the crown.
And there you have it, folks, your power rankings post week nine. Let us know your thoughts. And we are going to give the This League Guarantee another round, gentlemen. Let's get into it.
The This League Guarantee.
Last week, we had two sexy picks and one pick that almost made me throw up in my mouth. And what if I told you that crap turned to gold and gold turned to crap? Jamar Chase, anytime touchdown scorer. DeAndre Swift, over 60 rushing yards. I can't believe he let us down, man. He finally did it. And then, of course, old reliable. Everybody saw it coming. Cortland Sutton, over 50 receiving yards. Against the Ravens. Smash that, man. So
what'd he end up with? Like 110?
Yeah, two tutties. Just balling out there, man. So good old for you, Cortland Sutton. And mine this week is kind of gross too. We were due for a down week. We've been running really hot recently, I feel like. So as every gambler does, you have your down weeks, but that means it's time to turn the tide, baby. Let's go for another 3-for-3 This League Guarantee. Aaron, we'll start with you, your guarantee.
Yeah, so I'm going to pull a Tim here and go Tyrone Tracy Jr. anytime touchdown.
Oh, we're plus getting into those waters, huh?
Odds. He's going up against the Carolina Panthers. They are the worst team in the NFL against the run. I expect Tyrone Tracy to run wild against a very soft defense. So give me him scoring a tutty.
Plus 105 seems like really good odds. I feel like that should maybe be minus just with how bad the Panthers running defense is. So I like that one a lot. We all probably know Tim's pick, so I will split up the similar prop bets here and jump in here. Mine last week was kind of gross. I feel like this one is also kind of gross, but F it, we ball. We're going Dalton Kincaid over 4.5 catches against your Indianapolis Dolts.
Colt, go Colts.
Oh, gosh.
This one is scary, guys, because Dalton Kincaid's only hit this number 2 times this year. He has had 4 catches the previous 2 weeks, so we're right at that line. And I think he hits it this week for a couple reasons. Number one, only 2 teams in football, on average, give up more receptions to the tight end position than our beloved Indianapolis Colts. The target numbers there for Dalton Kincaid, we are averaging 7 targets a game. So I think that, combine that with the amount of targets that the Colts give up, that's a pretty good combination there. And then the rest of the Bills personnel guys, Amari Cooper, not catching balls as of Thursday, which seems important to me for somebody who plays wide receiver. I don't know. I'm no expert. But if you're not even catching balls on Thursday, you know, come Sunday, that's a pretty important part of your job. Keon Coleman also did not practice on Thursday as well. I think we expect the Bills to just absolutely probably dominate the Colts this week. And, you know, they like to get Dalton Kincaid involved early, which is when I think the Bills will start throwing the ball. So Dalton Kincaid over 4.5 catches against the Colts at minus 125 is my pick. And we will go on to Tim to close out the guarantee.
You know what we're going to do. And yes, Aaron very much pulled a Tim.
Stealing your flow.
I was getting in the dock to add. Was one Tyrone Tracy. So we are going for the second anytime touchdown of the week. And that is going to be one James Conner, Arizona Cardinals.
All right.
Against the New York.
Against the Jets? That sounds scary, Tim.
Jets do not have a good run defense.
What?
Plain and simple. Yards given up in the last, I'll just run through, 187, 112, 149, 149, 82,
gosh,
126, 78, 130, 180.
Holy crap. That's not good.
They've given up 1, 3, 6, 8, 9, 10. They've given up 11 rushing touchdowns in how many weeks have we played?
We're going into week 10. Yeah.
So over a touchdown a week. And James Conner is just so vital to this Cardinals offense that I think he's getting into the end zone this week.
I'm feeling good about the guarantee this week, guys. I really am. I love the Tyrone Tracy pick, anytime touchdown. Obviously, as you heard, Tim does too. That was going to be his until Aaron just stole his whole flow, man. Stole the whole flow.
Is it a 50 week? Is it lay down a $50 bill?
50.
Yeah, 50 burger.
It's a 50 whoever's week on the guarantee.
Who's on the $50 bill, Chris?
Ben Franklin? No, that's 100. Oh,
I think,
no.
Dude,
I don't know.
Yikes.
Dude, who's on the 50? Oh,
President Grant.
Oh, Ulysses. I would never have gotten that. And I love Ulysses, too.
Heck yeah.
Wow.
Well, Ulysses, if you put a $50 Ulysses,
you put a Ulysses on him,
parlay, the payout will be $345.
Mmm. Dang, I like that, man. I really like that. I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to do it. So, obviously, that means all of them are going to miss. So, again, one more time for you guys at home. Tyrone Tracy, anytime touchdown scorer. James Conner, anytime touchdown scorer. And Dalton Kincaid, over 4.5 at catches versus the Colts. You heard Tim with the odds. They're juicy. We're all putting you list down on them. And we think you should, too, because we guarantee it, baby, in this week's This League guarantee. One more segment before we get out of here. We're going to preview some football. We're going to preview week 10. Let's get into it. We say welcome back to the Pittsburgh Steelers with Mike Williams now in the Arsenal and San Francisco 49ers with some bum named Christian McCaffrey probably back in the Arsenal as well. And we say bye, bye, bye to the Cleveland Browns, the Seattle Seahawks, the Green Bay Packers, and the Las Vegas Raiders. Some names there, maybe not the worst bye week you've ever seen, but Seattle's got some tools, Green Bay's got some tools. Cleveland's got Cedric Tillman.
That's about it.
David Njoku, I guess. You can throw him in there. And as I mentioned, no more Qdoba Chipotle Classic. We are back to the divisional matches. We are back to the divisional clashes. And this is why I like divisions, guys, because these games are going to matter a lot when it comes to playoff standings, when it comes to seeding. Division matchups just matter more, man. And I'm excited to get into them. We will start with a clash in the This is a clash in the Chipotle division. It is between Aaron and the Sun God Squad coming into this one at 4-5, taking on Clayton and the Red Rocket at 3-6.
One of these teams really, 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 really needs this win. Like how fast we've seen this team's playoff chances dwindle. That is Clayton I am referring to coming in at 3-6.
Dang.
But man, right when you need one, here comes the Sun God Squad. And
you need a win? I jot just the guy.
It's one of those that if you can't beat the Sun God Squad, then why are you playing fantasy? Clayton had a 67% chance of victory before the game started. He's rolling out Burrow tonight with Jordan Love on bye and Baker against the tough 49ers defense. Mm-hmm. Probably the right call so far with 11 points with a touchdown and a solid night through the air at halftime.
Aaron, there's got to be somebody better than Tyler Goodson out there. There's got to be. Come on, man.
Go look at the waivers.
You can go ahead, Tim. Oh, wow. Dude, you're right. Holy cow.
Estime's getting more work.
You could play a Goomba Wale.
What did he have last week? He had negative 0.1.
Shoot. It's ruined my argument.
I would have been better.
Anyway, sorry, Tim, to cut you off there. Tyler Goodson's a sore on the eyes.
Yeah. I'm going to be for the rest of the year, unfortunately. For Clayton, you got questionable tags currently on Bucky, Brian Thomas Jr., and Drake London. All three were limited as of Wednesday, and all three were limited again on Thursday. So with a couple of LPs, you'd think they're all going to give it a go, sure. But if one or two do not, all of a sudden we are on holy depth watch, because we already have flex plays of Jalen Tolbert and DeMarcus Robinson this week.
Which D-Rob's
been fine whenever Puka gets ejected or is missing due to injury, or Cup is also missing due to injury. Otherwise, I wouldn't expect much there. And there's nobody else on the bench to play. Brock Bowers is on bye. Jaden Reed's on bye. So we're just low on bodies and just hoping to squeak one out. I think we've done enough roster analysis for Aaron on Tyler Goodson.
I'm going to pick up Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah.
Vibes.
Not much to add beyond, you know, the Browns, AJ Brown and Amon-Ra and Odunze, you know. Maybe Ladd, you know, the Chargers have really been slinging it lately, so maybe Ladd can stay hot. Other than that, good luck next year. I'm taking Clayton here.
Man, the running backs in this matchup are so gross. Because outside the running backs, I actually think I prefer Aaron's roster, especially those flex spots. There's a lot of kind of really up-in-the-air players in both of those spots. But I'm going to take A.J. Brown and Amon-Ra St. Brown over Brian Thomas and Drake London, in my opinion. Even heck, I think Caleb Williams with a pretty solid matchup against the Patriots going up against Joe Burrow. You know, that's not the worst matchup in the world. It's just, God, Tyler Goodson, man. This dude played on 2% of snaps last week.
Very solid. Very solid.
By the way, I'm going to start calling Bucky Irvin Bussy. Did you guys ever see that video? Instead of a Bucky, this guy's like, I'm going to a Bussy. I'm at a Bussy. It was really funny. Clayton knows what I'm talking about. But I guess I'm going to go Clayton. But believe it or not, I don't love it against the Sun God squad, but I'll go Clayton. Aaron, who you got?
Oh, man. I'm going to go Clayton. Who am I kidding?
Uh-oh. The boys are riding Clayton.
Yeah.
It's not a good sign.
There's a difference between a sweep and a ride, I think.
Yeah. Also, one thing I forgot to mention, going back to week 9, I have one sound for you guys and see if you can't put two and two together. Ooh-wee-ooh. You know what I'm talking about?
I just dropped Goodson. He's gone.
That's not what I was talking about. But what do we make that sound for usually?
Curses.
Yeah. Somebody made a surprise appearance on the pod last week.
Ooh, stretch.
Got clapped handedly by Anthony. I'm putting that out there. I'm putting that out there. We haven't talked about it much this year, but I think the podcast curse may still very well be alive. But when it comes to the preview this week, no guests this week. And we are all riding Clayton to get off the schneid, end his 2-game losing streak, and keep the pressure on for those playoff spots. We will go on to the next matchup. It is Steven and Mount Passmore coming into this one at 3-6, 2 straight dubs. Taking on a Tim team who's coming off a disappointing loss, but obviously still number 2 in the power rankings. We know how good his squad is. He's at 6-3, and I'm sure Tim is happy to be back in the Qdoba division. As he puts a thumbs up.
Yes, indeed. And when I take a look at Tim's spring lineup, I see Saquon Barkley. Tyrone Tracy. Those are both standing real tall in Tim's starting RB spots. I already highlighted Tyrone Tracy's juicy matchup against Carolina. Mm-hmm. And Saquon is just doing Saquon things. He is incredible. So I expect him to continue to perform the way that he has really all season. Ja'Marr Chase typically eats the Ravens. We'll see what he does in the second half here as this game concludes. Hasn't been having too much of a game, but I did love that matchup coming into tonight. Tyreek on Monday Night Football, that's going to be hot, in my opinion. I think he will get it going. And
he's due, man. If he doesn't, have like plus. An elite matchup, an elite performance this week, I'm going to be a little, I'm going to have some eyeballs on him. Just saying, he's due.
Yeah, I think he's due, and I think he's going to erupt. And, you know, despite Cooper Rush being the quarterback, I think CeeDee could also feast this week. I think there's definitely that potential. They're going to need to put up some points against the Eagles to keep pace. And then if LaPorta and Aaron Jones even just have floor-level performances, I think there's a 0.0% chance Steven wins this game.
Dang, 0.0%.
Yeah. On Steven's side, Chase Brown, main beneficiary of Zach Moss's injury. He got a touchdown earlier in the game, but not much else outside of that so far. You got JT, and then you get George Kittle back, which is positive for Steven. Addison and Ingram will likely have solid games. And T. Higgins questionable. I'm trying to keep it together, folks. But there is some weird stuff going on in our show, Doc. Could be a big factor for Steven with T. Higgins indeed out of this game and probably his only shot of really keeping it close. I think Tim is going to win handedly against Steven this week. His team on paper is scary and certainly top 2 to 3 team in the league, as we already mentioned in the power rankings. I'm going Tim.
I think Steven is one piece away from making this game interesting. That Rashad Bateman start, it's not looking good before the game. It's not looking good right now, getting you a goose at halftime here for the Ravens. And I think if he was replaced by, you know, maybe a DK Metcalf, obviously the Seahawks are on bye, but, you know, if you plug in DK Metcalf there, I think this game is competitive enough to really make you think. I've personally been rising on Jordan Addison, personally, as somebody who traded him away this offseason. But I just think his role with that Vikings offense is pretty clear that he's the number two. Maybe that changes with Hawkinson coming in, but, and maybe because I just, you know, they played the Colts last week that I actually watched the game. But, you know, every time, almost every play, Jefferson's getting doubled or the safety's getting help on him. You know, not Kevin McCarthy. What's the Vikings head coach name?
O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell, yeah. Even came up and said he has to, like, restrain from showing happiness anytime he thinks there's one-on-one coverage on Justin Jefferson because it never happens in the game. And that happened against the Colts, and they burned, you know, Jalen Jones, you know, our all-star quarterback or whatever. So it's just every play they're doubling him, and I think Jordan Addison is doing a good job playing that two role. And that's my Jordan Addison speech for the evening. With that being said, though, you know, whenever the worst player on your roster is Hunter Henry, that's pretty nice, I would say. So I'm going to go Tim to win this one as well.
Yeah, I'm not overlooking it. I don't think it'll be a cakewalk by any means, but I will take myself as well.
All right. It's a clean sweep for Tim. Fully expect him to move to 7-3. Put the kibosh on this nice little winning streak that Steven is putting up. Tell you what, Steven wins this game, we gotta have some conversations. Not even about Tim, about Steven, man. Three straight dubs if he wins this game. That is certainly worth a conversation. We will get in to the next game here. It is between Walker, a hardly knower, and Stretch coming to this one at 5-4, trying to keep up with Tim in that Qdoba division, taking on Dawn and Njigba's in Paris at 1-8, fresh off of the win. And guys, you got a 5-4 team and a 1-8 team here. But what if I told you that Don has actually outscored Stretch by 26 points over the past 2 weeks? And what makes that even more impressive is that both of these guys have each scored over 120 points in the last 2 weeks. So not only has Don been outperforming Stretch over the past 2 weeks, but they've both been putting up points. So this game could get very interesting, which means I'm throwing out the record books, baby, because this is This League Fantasy Football. I was about to say podcast, but no, this is just fantasy football. So I love this game this week. Like I said, I'm throwing out the record books. I think both teams have a chance to put up a good performance. Sleeper giving Stretch a 61% chance of victory. He has Mark Andrews in this game right now with 13 minutes left in the third. 3 catches, 34 yards. We'll take that. We'll take that from the tight end spot. But yeah, bye weeks hitting both of these teams. The game to watch for here, the New York Jets against the Arizona Cardinals in real life football. 5 players in that game in this matchup. Obviously, if you're going against the Cardinals, that helps. And for Stretch, that's Devontae Adams. That's Garrett Wilson. He's hoping he can recreate the magic he had last week. But for Don, he has Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball. So it will be really interesting to see, you know, that dynamic. And if Aaron Rodgers is feeding these two guys, how that ends up swinging this matchup. Elsewhere across the board, an obvious weak spot in Don's lineup. We got Ben Sano at tight end, which I guess you usually play Tucker Kraft there, who's on bye, but we're running Ben Sano this week in the tight end spot. And we also have Xavier Worthy in the other flex spot, which that name might make you feel a certain way, but in reality, he's really been struggling this year, guys. His rookie season, he is currently the wide receiver 54 on the year. He has not finished inside the top 24 since week 4. So Xavier Worthy maybe not coming out as hot as you wanted to. Obviously, Chris Olave doubtful to play this week, and you don't really have any other options on the bench, maybe besides Jonathan Brooks if you're Dawn. Do we play Jonathan Brooks over a Xavier Worthy this week, over a J.K. Dobbins? How confident are we, Mr. Jonathan Brooks truther up there and Aaron?
Yeah, I think you got to give it a week, especially given the signing of Chuba Hubbard to that deal that he just got. I think they're really going to slow play this, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was on some type of snap count.
Yeah, no, I agree too. Definitely agree giving him a week. Elsewhere for stretch here, we got to roll Kyler Murray again because we don't really have any choice unless you want to play Drake May at Chicago. Tough location there, but we got Kyler at home against the Jets. I'm a little nervous if I'm stretched there, but that's just what Kyler does, right? He's elite enough to where you still plug him in every week and hope for the best. But where stretch really starts to separate himself here, I mean, David Montgomery, quality. We know James Conner is getting a touchdown this week. Shout out to Tim there. Darnell Mooney, who is currently the wide receiver 12 in fantasy football, and Devonta Smith, who has been balling as of late as well. I think just really separate him from some of the more dart throws that Don is putting up there. And holy cow, next week is Commanders Eagles on Thursday Night Football. Hell yeah. That's a fun one.
That's a good game.
I like that a lot. Look at Thursday Night Football flexing. Anyway, I'm taking stretch here. Not super confident in the Ben Sano, Xavier Worthy plays. And I think, you know, when you compare them to Mark Andrews and Darnell Mooney, who I think are maybe the closest comparisons in this matchup, I think you got to give it to stretch. Even though I would like to see Don maybe shock the world and put up 150 again. But without JSN, without DK Metcalf, without Chris Olave, or DK Metcalf's not on his team, but without Chris Olave, I think that's going to be tough to do. So I'm going to go stretch.
Stretch as well.
Yep, I'm going to go stretch also. I just don't think Don has the horses, and I don't see another 150 or 140 in his future.
All right, we are all lockstep here on the pick-ems this week so far, and we may be on this next matchup as well. But the last game of the week, that's going to be an interesting one. I'm interested to see where we line up there. But before we get there, we have the only, I can very confidently say this time, cross-divisional matchup of the week. It is Anthony, number one in the power rankings, and Team Uninspired Youth at 7-2, taking on Zach and the reeling four straight L's, Breece Lightning at 3-6.
And similar to the other matchup I previewed, we have a 3-6 team that could desperately and really, 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 really use a win. Except this one's against a top team instead of a bottom team.
Yeah.
Talking about Zach desperately needing a dub. Anthony had 66% chance of victory before the game started and before CMC enters the starting lineup.
Very good clarification
there.
That's
only going to go up. You know, Lamar, Mixon, JJ, Kelsey. But I want to spend a second here on Ramondre Stevenson has 16 plus points in how many games?
Okay, we've had nine games. 16 plus, I'm going to say four of them.
I'll say two.
He has had 16 plus in five.
Five, okay.
Games.
Right. Yeah, because
he's
what?
Like 16, 18, and then over 22 in the other three.
Because he's what? I would guess like the RB 17?
19.
It is 21, and that's okay. Because in the other games he's played this year, how many points does he average?
You're asking me a lot of numbers questions here, Tim. Average points for Ramondre Stevenson. Well, I mean, we get 16 and over half, so I would guess maybe 15.
I can spoil it for you.
15.
In his other games, so in the other four, he averages 2.7 fantasy points a game.
Oof.
The definition of boom or bust. Boom or doom, if you will.
Boom. he is the least, the last person I would think as a boomer bust player, Ramondre.
Right. And so that alone, it's something I wanted to call out. You got Amari Cooper with his wrist thingy, limited again, but hasn't caught any passes this week in practice. So I don't know that there's a lot of confidence that he's going out there, but you'll just replace him with CMC. So it's all fine and dandy in the end.
CMC is projected for almost 20 points from Sleeper. Jesus.
Yeah. Not good for the rest of the league. Zach, we're hoping for big points in this Sunday night game between Houston and Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit's going to put up big points. He's hoping that Houston puts up big points because they're going to have to. CJ Stroud is going to be slinging that thing. Breece Hall has a plus matchup at Arizona. Otherwise, it's tough sledding for a team
sure
trying
is,
to get off
man.
The side. You got Javonte at Kansas City.
All of these matchups actually really suck. Like, this is impressive how bad these matchups are.
Josh Downs against Buffalo's D, and their pass D is great. That's gross. Marvin Harrison Jr. against the Jets' pass D.
Ugh, God.
Brian Robinson against Pittsburgh's run D.
Oh, God.
Even Cade Otton's got the tough Niners.
Yeah, that's nasty, too.
There's just grossness all up and down the lineup.
And the Steelers are playing the Commanders, which I don't even love that.
And for that reason, I'm out on Zach. We're taking Anthony.
Yeah, I'm taking Anthony as well. Amari Cooper being in there is interesting. Again, I mentioned how on Thursday, I'd be surprised if he plays. Again, don't call me an expert, but the fact that we're not catching footballs on Thursday when you got to play Sunday is not a good sign to me. So if we do have to pivot away from Amari Cooper, we go Rashad White, Keenan Allen, A.D. Mitchell, if you want to be fun with it. But yeah, you probably go like a Rashad White or something. So it's not the worst pivot. So for that reason, I go Anthony. I think he takes care of business, and he annoyingly improves to 7-3.
You mean 8-2?
7-3. He's 6-3 right now.
Oh. I guess I put that maybe wrong in the show talk.
Oh, that was totally me. My bad. Behind the scenes of this league podcast. Who you got, Aaron?
Take Anthony as well. I was trying to find a way to be a contrarian and pick Zach for just the vibes, but I just simply cannot do it.
I would. Zach's team's fun, but those matchups are just so nasty. They are so bad.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's clean sweep for Anthony there. Expect him to move to 7-3. Zach fall to 3-7 if that is the case. The game of the week, and really no question about who the game of the week was this week. We have the two teams with the two best records in the league going against each other. It is your boy, Team Fairlife at 7-2, taking on Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan. Also coming into this one at 7-2, the winner takes Chipotle.
Yes, indeed. And you just look up and down the lineup on both of these squads, and there is just star power out to play. A major storyline that's starting to develop, we have the benefit of doing this podcast on Thursday night. Derrick Henry, only 2.8 points.
Yeesh.
We're heading into the middle of the third quarter. This would be by far his lowest point total of the year. He's never gotten below 10 all season. So
wow, that's a good stat.
That would be major if, Chris, you were able to have the juju on Derrick Henry.
I will say the last time I played Hayden was week one. Derrick Henry finished as the running back 31. Everywhere else, he's been a top 10 running back except for week 8. So yeah. I'm not spoiling it. But Ravens have to throw a lot. I might really have the Derrick Henry juju here.
Yep. And another storyline is you are going to have very conflicting feelings, Chris, this week with three Bills in your fantasy football.
I know.
Going against your Indianapolis Colts.
Just put us out of our misery. I'm thinking real hard about going to the game this weekend just for that reason. Just being like, yeah, keep going. Just pound us, man.
It'd probably be a really fun game to watch, honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got the trio of Josh Allen, James Cook, Dalton Kincaid against a reeling Colts team that doesn't seem to have much of an identity at this point. I could see good things happening in that game on the offensive side of the ball for the Bills. Malik Nabers in Germany against Carolina.
Feeling a bounce back game there. I really am.
That will be hot, in my opinion. I think Malik will bounce back in a major way. Kamara in a divisional game against Atlanta, and then Cooper Kupp on Monday Night Football. I just really enjoy the matchups up and down. You're not going to have to try too hard, Chris. I mean, all of your squad is in two NFL games, essentially.
I know. It's kind of nice. Yeah. I love watching the Rams play.
That'll be fun for you. And then on Hayden's side, he's rolling with Tank Dell again, which I think will be a strong play against Detroit. He has to be the focal point. I mean, Nico's still not back, and Stephon Diggs, as we know, is out for the year with the torn ACL. I think Jahmyr Gibbs in the same game needs to have a big-time performance. And Puka Nacua, can he come back and be the player that we know and love him to be? Got ejected last game. I think he's going to be just fine, though. I expect to bounce back in Monday Night Football there.
Quick question on that. Rest of season this season. You would have Puka over Kupp, right?
Yes.
Tim?
They're close.
Okay, I agree. They're close, but just asking for a friend. Just curious.
I think with Hayden here, first of all, yeah, Gesicki as the tight end, not doing much, also hurting him. He needed a really big game from Derrick Henry. If he doesn't get that, it's going to be really tough because Debo at Tampa Bay with the questionable tag, that's going to be tough sledding there. And Bijan has been on fire, but going up against New Orleans on the road. Man, I really think that Chris will win this game. I just love the matchups just up and down the board. I don't think that Hayden has enough here, especially with some of the point totals on Thursday Night Football. So I'm going to go with Chris. I know it's a bit biased just because we do get to see what's going on, you know, the Thursday matchups. But even despite that, I just don't think Hayden has it.
Tim, who you got?
I'm going Chris. I think there is a very good 7-2 team going up against a good 7-2 team, and I will take the very good 7-2 team.
Well, thanks, guys. We're lockstep this week. Goodness gracious, because I'm going me as well. And this was before, you know, the Henry result, the Gesicki result. Just because, you know, we agree these are two stack lineups, but I think I have advantages in two positions. Obviously, I think Josh Allen outperforms Tua, and then I think the combination of Cooper Kupp and Malik Nabers outperforms Debo and Tank Dell. And I would consider us pretty even the rest of the way going. So for that reason, I'm out. I'm just kidding. For that reason, I'm going me. Shout out Shark Tank. So, well, geez, all lockstep this week. Quick rundown. We all expect the Red Rocket to get off the schneid, overcome Aaron. We all expect Tim to take down Steven, Stretch to take down Don, Anthony to take down Zach, and your boy to take down Hayden in the battle of the 7-2 teams. I understand that this week might have been a little boring for the preview, but that just means next week, a little preview for you. We got Tim taking on Stretch next week. We got Hayden taking on Anthony next week. The Red Rocket against a Surgeon Dawn. Like, we got some matchups next week, but those could be built with more intrigue whenever we all go 0-5 in our pick'ems this week, guys. That would be funny. So that was your week 10 preview. Let us know your thoughts on that as we sign off here. This League underscore pod. Let us know your thoughts on this week's episodes, your picks, thoughts on the guarantee, all that good jazz. That's where you can reach out to us. And as always, if you're on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen, if you could give us a good rating, comment, share us with your friends who also love fantasy football. We're getting down to the nitty gritty of the season, and we are going to be with you here every step of the way. And as always, bring the boom to that like button, baby. No booms for Tim. No booms for the like button.
Boom. Don't fumble it away like Chase Brown, you freaking idiot.
Here we go.
Could just click.
You could just click, ladies and gentlemen. We would appreciate that as well. All clicks are made equal. And thank you again for listening to our podcast this week. We appreciate it. We appreciate you. As always, I'm Chris signing off. Love you guys.
Peace.
Long get.